Welcome back to the Sexual Healing Podcast from Top to Bottom. This is a special episode, episode 1.5, Weekend in Wakanda. Yes. I am your host, Dr. Pookie, and I have here my co-host.
This is Dark Boy.
And yesterday, we got up out of our beds after some very trying Fridays. Right. And it's like very trying Fridays. Yes. And went on over to the theater to check out, you know, the Black Gospel Experience, yes, also known as Black Panther.
Yes.
And it was an experience, and we have restrained ourselves from saying much of anything to one another about this movie until this recording. So yes.
You get to give too much away.
That's it. And also, I don't know, I said one thing and you were like, I didn't read it that way at all. So it's like, and then I was like, we should stop talking now.
Right.
So we
have the episode without recording any of it, anything.
Exactly. And then I'll be like, well, wait, I didn't see it that way at all. So we're going to go spontaneous and completely unscripted today.
Yes.
So where do we begin?
I think we begin that, you know, after the trying Fridays, it was very well worth it to get up early on mm-hmm. Saturday morning to go to the theater to see
yes.
this masterpiece.
And I was shocked. Like, we were like, we went to an 11 o'clock show, and we were like, we got to be there at 10 to line up, you know, yeah. And your husband called and said they let everybody into the theater. He didn't say everybody was basically three people.
Right.
Well, because he probably never saw them.
Yeah, and
that's
I was like,
probably why.
This theater is packed. We're not going to have seats. We're not going to, you know. And so yeah, I was a little bit worried about that. I made my apologies about my little, you know, getting a little feisty about the seats, but, you know.
Yeah, my inner white woman was getting she was about to emerge because when I hit that corner when we came up that ramp to go into the theater, I was like, we better have some seats. Kirk better save some seats.
Right.
And it was like, you know, I was like, it was three big old men in our group. They could have saved us some seats.
Yes.
But it was cool. There were only, what, four people in there? Something like that. There was a group of three behind us, the row behind us, and then there was a couple in front of us, and then there was another family that came in later. So it was empty. We got to hear every word.
Yes.
It was lovely.
Nobody was carrying on during the movie. Mm-mm. Not too much anyway.
And we were the blackest things in there, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was like a white family. I think the people behind us may have been Asian. You know, so they were very respectful. It was quiet, you know. They were just taking it in. And the couple in front of us, other than that woman throwing her back a couple of times, I'm guessing maybe she was getting a little finger action. I don't know. But she was bucking in that chair in front of me a little bit, and she almost jacked up my toe. I wasn't happy with her about that. But, you know. And, of course, my crazy ass lost my 3D glasses.
Oh, I was not aware of the drama of the 3D lost 3D glasses.
Yeah, that's why I got up and left.
Oh, I didn't know why.
Yeah, I had to get up and I was like, because it said, okay, put on your glasses for the previews. And I was like, these previews aren't in 3D. It's like none of them were in 3D. And I said, why do we have to put the glasses on now? I'm confused. But yeah, that's why I left. And the little woman that was, things were so slow at the theater. The person that was checking people in, she wasn't even at her post. Like, she was at the concession stand. So I walked over there and just grabbed some glasses. And on the way back, she kind of gave me that suspicious white woman look. So I said, I cannot find my glasses. I didn't break stride. It's like, it was like, Heffa, I'm not stopping to talk to you. Black Panther's about to start, and you will get cut. So she just kind of gave me a little smile, and I smiled at her, and it was on.
Okay.
And so, because I started talking to her before, like when she was 10 feet away, so I didn't have to stop and say nothing. Because, you know, it was Black Panther. The previews may have been quite spicy.
Yeah.
Which they kind of were. And then there were some tired little things in there, too. But, you know, not everybody going to get my money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. This is our first movie review. So, I mean, obviously, I loved it.
Like, yes, so did I.
You know, because it was funny because Crystal and Crit Fury, they saw a screening, I guess, last week. And on their show that I listened to Friday night when I got home and was basically a zombie, they were like, okay, y'all, we're not going to get spoilers, but It exceeded the hype. And I said, okay, what was in this movie? That... And they were right. It actually, I felt like it was well done. They had a good story. There was
the visuals. Oh, my God.
Yeah. The cinematography.
Yes.
It was definitely eye candy of the architectural, of the sartorial, of the physical. there was a lot of eye candy to see, but
yes.
Yeah, Wakanda just was stunning. I really, you know, we had a previous conversation talking about what Africa could have been had the colonizers not arrived and stuck around. And certainly not everywhere in Africa has vibranium and all of that. But the movie kind of made me a little sad thinking about what, what Africa could have been.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I agree.
Mm-hmm. Because you did have, the cover of, the farmers, that were outside the force field, and the, I don't know what the other tribes, the other three tribes were, but I know that the main one, they were the royal family. I don't know.
That's how I took it. Yeah, that's how I took it. They were the royals of the country. Of Wakanda.
And I guess they established that in ritual battle from the beginning when they came together, because I know the fifth tribe, they basically said, "Nah, we ain't doing this." they were like, "Yeah, we'll be in the mountains with the ice and we'll be vegetarian.
We'll be good over here."
Yes. which I would have loved to have seen more about them, as well as more of them, because those were some big hot, oh God, what's his name? M'Baku?
Yes.
That was a lot of man. Dr. Pookie could swing from that man.
I think a lot of people could swing from him.
Yeah, Dr. Pookie was swung from M'Baku.
Or any of them.
Yeah, that's true. There were a lot.
Any of them.
There were some really attractive ass people in this movie.
Yes.
We all know Black is Beautiful, but we got confirmation after confirmation after confirmation in this movie. And, I love the idea that we had so many bald women in this film that were stunningly gorgeous. When you contrast that with the whole thing of the complexities of Black women's hair and some of the things that some sisters go through to have a certain look, the values attached to hair and, your hair is nappy and your hair is on drugs, I just remember hearing that a friend of mine, actually I didn't hear it directly, a friend of mine, she was at a step show when we were in college way back, and she had her hair relaxed, and he was like, "Sister, take your hair off them drugs." it's just like, wow. I was like, I never thought about it that way. But just, yeah, the whole thing about Black women's hair and the fact that these women had none. I mean, they had a cuvatis, and they were gorgeous.
Yeah, and they had none of the dealings with the drama that goes along with trying to have your hair a certain way. They had nothing to do with that, and they had no problem either.
Yeah, because I love the idea. I mean, I think a lot of folks, if I remember correctly, because I've only seen it once. I will be tipping through again this week to see it, and. But they won't catch me in the theater between now and Tuesday because, it's holiday weekend. I can't do it. I would have liked to have seen a little more of just daily life in Wakanda. Like, what are the issues there? What is society concerned about? How is T'Challa viewed by those outside of the aristocracy? Because I would venture to guess that most of the folks on the face of that mountain where they had the ritual battle where he actually was crowned were probably part of the aristocracy. They were the leaders. Yeah.
That's what I would think. I would think the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, certainly life seemed to be very good in Wakanda. So, it wasn't.
Yeah. So part of me, I don't think they really had a whole lot. I mean, I think their main thing was trying to I mean, their whole thing seemed to be about trying to keep their society a secret. So I would say that was probably their biggest concern. I mean, they're always this thing where they didn't want the world to know, you know, what they had and how good they really had it. So if I had to guess, I would say that was probably their main main concern.
Yeah, it was interesting because it was almost like a utopia. Yet it was definitely a black utopia. You did have, you know, it wasn't just conflict wasn't completely absent. You had folks that must have had ambitions and they're like, well, why can't I be in the royal family? You had folks that probably coveted certain roles in society, but we didn't get to see any of that. We certainly just saw a utopia of sorts, where you had a king that was, at least T'Challa, was very accessible. I don't know about T'Chaka, his father. He may have been a little more accessible as well, yeah. But I like the idea of him saying, you know, it's hard to be a king and be a good man at the same time.
Yeah, I did like that line. That was very good.
Yeah, that was, yeah, so our review is all over the place. So who was your, I guess we should probably talk more directly about the movie and then we'll talk about the offshoots because we're getting into all the thoughts it inspired. And so who was like your favorite character in the movie? Did you have a one that you were just like?
My favorite character was T'Challa's sister, Shuri. She was just cute but smart and funny but tough. Mm-hmm. And just her whole personality, the way, just everything, you know, it just like, just something about her energy was just so nice. So she was my favorite.
I'd have to say she was my favorite as well. Because she was off the chain. I mean, she was hilarious. When she had the line where they were like, are there any challengers? And she raised her hand. You know, and her mother was like, girl, and she was like, I just want y'all to know this corset is uncomfortable. Can we get this over with?
Yes.
And I died. I said, oh, no, she didn't. Like, I was like, yeah, she is truly a fool. Because I think in the, in one of the animated series that the Hudlin brothers did, I believe she challenged T'Challa for the Black Panther role. But I know in the comic books, apparently there was a female Black Panther that preceded T'Challa and she was killed and then he ascended.
Okay.
So I think, you know, in that the comic book universe versus the Marvel movie universe, there may be some differences there. I've not studied that canon, but it was interesting. I remember her wanting to be Black Panther as well in the animated series that I saw that the Hudlin brothers did. But actually, you know what? I have to take that back. Shuri was my favorite character in terms of laughs, but my favorite character was definitely Okoye. Denai Gurira was serious. Like,
it's like, yes. Whew. Well, she, and you know, same thing on The Walking Dead. She's a very tough character. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you don't mess with her. And so she had the same thing going here, which was fine. And I mean, it worked. You know, I think, you know, just the way that she was a defender. I mean, again, you just did not mess with her, and I liked that. You know,
was she in the remember the scene in the Avengers where Black Widow was trying to talk to T'Challa and tell him, "I need to talk to you," and I think she grabbed his arm, and the sister had said, remove yourself or you'll be removed. I can't remember if she was telling her to move or she grabbed him, but was that her?
I don't think that was Denai. I don't think that was Denai. I don't think that was
okay.
her.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it was definitely one of the other Dora. What's the Dora? Oh, I can't think of her names. Dora Milaje. Yeah, it was one of the others. But yeah, that sister and that skirt with all that ass popping.
Yes, I remember that.
I was like, I would pay to see that fight. Like, that would have been a good fight. But yeah, I just, I love that they that Ryan Coogler really put some thought into this film. This was not just a superhero. This was a very political film to me. I felt like T'Challa's vision of what Wakanda could be on the global stage and Killmonger's vision were really almost telling the history of the Black Panther Party. Because I know it's the Black Panther Party started out as much more... it was a community service program, basically. You know, they started school programs, making sure kids were fed on the way to school. They were very supportive. They were very visible. They were hardcore in the community doing that work that the government seemed incapable of doing for its people. Well, really was unwilling, but, you know, that's another story altogether. I love the idea that T'Challa and even T'Chaka before him were like, we need to protect Wakandan society. We don't, because
they knew, they knew what was going to happen. Yeah. You know,
yeah, they said we don't have those problems.
The colonists would come and,
yeah, exactly. We don't want the problems in the world. You know, they were like, they said in the beginning, you know, these folks, they got a little technology and they still at war constantly. Like, it just doesn't stop. And he's like, we don't have those problems and we don't want those problems. But there was that, you know, that price of being so isolated. Where T'Chaka had to kill his own brother. And then we saw what happened after that. You know.
Yeah.
a little strand in the royal line that was forgotten. But I am, you know, what were your thoughts on Killmonger?
I could see his his point of view of that there's all of these people. You can't blame him for being upset or hurt or angry. Because he was left behind. He was left behind. And he was not acknowledged. He was just kind of forgotten about. He became the rest of the world. Part of the rest of the world. And there was no anything from Wakanda. Nothing. So I could see his point of view when he said, there's all these people out here that could be helped. We could be doing all these things. I think he might be going a little too far, wanting to kind of, you know, take over the world. I don't know how that was going to work, but I guess they could have. But I kind of see what he was saying, that keeping it a secret is not the right thing. I could see both sides, you know, of them wanting to keep it because, you know, if folks come and try to take that, then, you know, you had a really good thing and now it's gone and the colonists come and take it and... You know, they're going to get to enjoy it, and chances are the original Wakandans who had it wouldn't be able to enjoy it anymore. Those folks would come in, take it, and be done, and the Wakandans would be forgotten. So, I could see both sides. So,
yeah, it was really fascinating because it was, you know, you had this idea of maintaining culture, because they had that whole idea of tradition against just a modern world. And we see that.
And that is the thing that I really, really like. There was tradition and modern at the same time. Yes. I love that.
I thought it was very fascinating because they were able to embrace both in many regards. Because I love the fact that it wasn't just the... I don't know. It seemed like a lot of the customs, we didn't get to see those up close and personal, but the daily life, it seemed like it was very traditional, even in the heart of the city, in the metropolis area. You would imagine out on the plains with the farmers, with the rhinoceri, you know, there was certainly a lot of tradition out there, but those folks were also very much steeped in technology. But I thought it was really cool that you did have different tribes that, you know, that were part of Wakanda. They were outside of the, you know, the hidden area, and they were very much okay with being rural, so to speak, maintaining their roots.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they had some modern conveniences here and there. But they really...
Yeah, but even, like, the one thing, like, especially when they, I want to say, like, one of the first... aerial shots. I think it might have been even the first scene or one of the first scenes where they're on the ship and they're flying back in. They're flying into Wakanda. And it's the first shot that we get of the city from the ship. And, I mean, some of the buildings still look like they were, like they had modern parts to it, but then they still had a traditional. I want to say one of them looked like even had like kind of a, looked like kind of a hut mm-hmm. on the outside of it. So, I mean, they were very, very good at having modern and traditional, I think, merged together.
Yeah.
And I like that. That was just fabulous.
And that's even, I mean, I, you know, and we've seen some of that to a certain extent in, you know, films like Star Wars and, you know, different layers that, you know, some of the villains have and things like that, where it's in the middle of a rainforest, and you have like this pyramid and inside it's completely just this pimped out technological model, you know, a marvel. It was very interesting because I did notice that kind of tower or building as well in that shot, and just trying to visually sweep that whole screen because there was just so much there to see. I'm actually, when this comes out on Blu-ray, I will definitely be sitting there with my remote and pausing. Yeah, and
we're pausing.
And, you know, with technology the way it is and that stuff, it shouldn't be a jumpy picture. It should just be a still photo, and you should be able to really just study what's happening there. And that definitely is very, very attractive option to me. Yeah, I just, I mean, yeah, Wakanda, I'd love to visit.
Yes. I mean, visually, it was just, you know, the, I mean, that's what I, you know, obviously you see the visuals, you see that. And that was definitely one of my, that was the thing that I just loved about the movie. But, the, I mean, the story too, the story itself too was really good. You know, I'm usually optimistic about these things, and I was a little bit, I don't want to say worried, I just was like, I hope that the story keeps up with, you know, lives up to the hype. And in my opinion, it did. So I had no complaints about this movie.
Yeah, it was just, I thought it was so well done. I appreciated the fact that they, that the story wasn't a throwaway. That there was something there, that they had, you know, you had this thing with Killmonger, like, okay, who is this guy? Because they showed him, but they didn't show his significance. He was just a kid out there shooting hoop.
And I didn't, at first I was like, I didn't know how that scene was going to connect back, you know. But again, they cleared it all up later on.
And it was strange because I kind of like, it was such an odd start.
Right. I was not prepared for that part. I was like, okay. I mean, obviously we knew it wasn't going to take place there, but I was like, you know, they started with a backstory first.
Yeah.
But obviously you don't know that, you know.
Yeah, because you know, Killmonger, the swag was serious. It just, he was almost my favorite. He just didn't have the screen time. And plus, I was very mad at him when he said, burn all that shit down. I said, why not at it? You know, it's like, you can't burn the flowers.
Yes. Well, but he was not there. Again, since I think because he got left behind, he was not there to really appreciate what all of those things did, what the herb did for everybody. I just think he was not there to enjoy it. So...
See, I didn't...
Or not to enjoy, but to use it or to just appreciate what it really meant. So he just, for him, it was a throwaway thing.
Well, the...
You know, and he was angry. Yeah. I mean, he was angry too, you know.
Yeah, but I feel like his command to burn it down was, I felt like it was purely a power grab. I find it hard to believe that this man was not ever going to have an heir. Because that he had to know that much about Wakanda. I find it hard to believe that his father didn't tell him how that shit worked. That he knew about vibranium and knew that, you know, that relic was in that museum. He knew stuff. His father taught him things. So I felt like it was really pretty short-sighted on his part to burn the flowers.
So then he did it.
I think to protect himself.
Just because he could. He could order somebody to burn it. And,
well, yeah, you know. I mean, he actually was basically breaking, you know, the traditions and the rituals. You're not supposed to do that. I mean, there are only certain right. people allowed in that part of the mountain, obviously. But I felt like he did it to protect his position on the throne. He didn't want anyone else to have access because he may or may not have known about the other leaders of the other tribes. You know, because each of them had their own royal lineage, and they could challenge for the throne. And they all basically declined, and, you know, and they were good to go. They weren't going to challenge T'Challa unless he was a really poor leader and just had them embroiled in a mess and had their borders pierced and everything else. But didn't T'Chaka say at the beginning that he needed his brother to come home, not because he betrayed them, but wasn't there also trouble in the kingdom? I don't remember that. I thought it was trouble. Maybe I'm thinking trouble. of the comic compendium that Ta-Nehisi Coates wrote. I know that Wakanda in that is like in really it's been disrupted. It's become definitely a dystopia as opposed to a utopia. And shit is off the chain. Mm-hmm. But I do wonder, I know he commanded him to go home to face trial for betraying the kingdom, but I can't recall if that was the only thing. It just struck me, the thing that struck me is that this movie, not only was it a good plot, the visuals, you know, the fight scenes, it had all the good stuff. What I appreciated is that there was no sex. And
that's true.
The plot was deep. Like, it was rich on many levels. Like, I'm looking forward to some of the think pieces and the academic lit that's going to come out of this movie, because it's a bit of a game changer. Not just because of the representation on the screen, but this is the first, I don't know if it's the first, but it's certainly the highest profile black directed, black cast film that has this much box office, you know, bang and world exposure that's talking about these issues.
And star power, too.
And star power. I mean, I'm certainly looking forward to Chadwick Boseman playing a regular character and not portraying someone, you know, famous or historical. But he does it well, so okay. But, I'm certainly afraid for him and his career in terms of getting, you know, pigeonholed into just being the biopic guy. I think he has a lot more to offer than that. I appreciate it, just the complexity of the plot. You know, we talked about the Black Panthers and, you know, as I saw it, as them portraying the early Black Panther history and then the more militant side of the Black Panthers with Killmonger and, to a lesser degree, his father. It's like, you know, his father was like, you know, he had his machine guns and the like, and I was like, because I thought he was a drug dealer. And I said, what does this have to do with Black Panther? And then I said, oh, okay, he's actually about to start a revolution. Okay, I get it. But I thought it was, you know, you had that issue with the Black Panthers. You had the idea of self-determination and empowerment. You had this idea of privilege and having a leg up. Because obviously, compared to the rest of the African continent, Wakanda had a serious leg up, which allowed them to avoid the corruption and things like that that are usually the only thing people know about African nations and their governments, which is not universally the case. There was talk about immigration there with just people coming in and keeping it purely Wakanda. You had a quote-unquote subclass, you know, that were, you know, Wakanda adjacent or, you know, Metropolis adjacent with M'Baku and his people. It was... It was so rich. My brain was just kind of tingling at a certain point in the movie. Once I got past all the, oh my gosh, and the, ooh, and the, huh, oh, she's funny, you know. I started thinking like, wow, they're getting some deep shit here. I don't know. Were there any undertones that you picked up on, or were you just on the first viewing like, I'm just enjoying myself, I'm not thinking that deeply?
I was really just truly enjoying myself when I was watching this. It was just such a good thing to see a movie that had us in it, you know, was about us, and you know, it just felt a sense of pride when I was watching this movie, and I don't recall feeling that before. I mean, obviously we've seen other black themed movies, but this was different. This was on a whole other level. And so I really just had a sense of pride of watching this movie. It was just, you know, and the fact that everything to me tied together. I mean, again, the visuals, the stories, the costume, everything just came together. So, I mean, I might have to go see it a second time to get more, you know, get anything that I might have missed.
There's a lot we missed. Yeah, because, I mean, the costume designer, I cannot remember her name, but there have been a couple of short documentary behind the scenes type of clips featuring her, and she's talked about the inspiration for a lot of the wardrobing and costuming in the movie, including the queen, Ramonda, Miss Angela Bassett. We need to call her Dame Angela Bassett at this point. You know, she is just, that woman might live to be 95 and have maybe two wrinkles on her forehead. that happens. But her crown was actually, I think it was based, it's like the hat of a married Zulu woman, I believe, is what she said.
Okay. But here's the
thing that was so cool about the hat. The one that she was wearing was 3D printed.
Okay. So, yes. All right. Well, whatever it was, I just loved the shape of it. It just was such a... just the costuming. I mean, it just was just so beautiful.
Yeah, they were... I mean, I loved the use of color with the different tribes. You had the green, you had the red. Was there yellow? I don't know if yellow was in it.
I don't remember.
The guy with the disc in his lip, I think that his tribe was primarily represented by the color green.
I thought it was, green.
And I know the old sister in red who was like, who is this? This charlatan. You know, no, Ramonda said, who's this charlatan? But she was like, why is he here? I said, oh, y'all done got Auntie upset. Like, she looked like she was about to get up with her cane and get to slapping somebody. Yeah, there were just so many things. We could probably talk about this movie for like 2 hours.
Yeah, we probably could.
and probably, yeah, when it comes out on Blu-ray, we'll have to get together, you know.
Yes, exactly.
And watch. And I might have to bring a bottle of wine. I know you don't drink, but I might have to bring a bottle of wine.
What did you think about Wakabi? I thought it was interesting how he kind of seemed. It seemed like he kind of shifted over. I want to say shifted over to the dark side, kind of easy. Which that part kinda surprised me a little bit.
It actually didn't strike me as easy. He struck me as a guy who was rather frustrated with the status quo. He did feel like, I don't know if he was driven by the idea of everything that Killmonger was doing. Yeah, I don't know if it was world domination. It could have been, because he seemed, he really, I know he was upset with T'Challa when they didn't bring back Claw.
Understand that.
Yeah.
Because that was their thing. That was their main, again, their main source was, main issue was him and their secret getting out, I think.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I don't know if he was so upset because Claw had violated, you know, their society by stealing the vibranium, or was he more upset about T'Challa's failure? But he definitely had a little more of a militant bent to him. I don't think he wanted to go as far as Killmonger in terms of world domination. But it was curious about what he wanted, because he had that moment, like when you know, he told them Claw got away, He's like, he slipped through your fingers, you know.
It's yeah, like, he's like, how did that happen?
Yeah, he's like, what's that about? You're supposed to be the king, you know. How does that happen? And you know, and of course, it would have probably been, it would have looked like T'Challa was, you know, I hate to say it, but it would have been a bitch move for him to be like, well, what happened was, you know, because he's a king, he don't have to explain shit to anybody. But then it presents this black and white thing of success or failure. And I wasn't sure what Wakabi wanted. It wasn't entirely clear to me on the first viewing. I don't know if he wanted to help the outside world, if he wanted Wakanda to basically...
First, I think it might have changed. What he wanted, I would say, changed when the mission to get Claw failed. It's probably what ended up happening, which is why it might have been easy for him to kind of... When I say go to the dark side, it might have been easier for him to do that. Because, you know... I mean, yeah, I think... I don't think the expectation that the mission to get Claw was going to fail. I don't think that was ever a possibility in his mind. Mm-hmm. And when it did, it's like, well, we tried it this way. Now we're going to try it this other way. I think that's where he was coming from.
Well, I think also T'Challa definitely lost some cool points when Claw got away. But I noticed how quickly Killmonger was conferred when he basically brought Claw's dead body as opposed to the one that was supposed to stand trial. But I think... standing trial was more T'Challa's motivation than bringing a dead body. But he quickly came to Killmonger's side when he drugged that body up. And also, I think he definitely was like, oh, this brother gets stuff done. Never mind that he's the one that freed Claw in the first place. That's another detail. Yeah. That's a little quibbling little thing. We don't talk about that, you know. But, I mean, it was obviously part of Killmonger's plot because he turned on his people, you know, his little team, and shot his woman. That was cold. Oh. He told her, baby, it's going to be all right, and put a bullet in her, and I'll holler.
Well, I knew he was going to do that, though. I'm like, okay, here we go, you know?
I love the idea of Killmonger, though. His backstory, the fact that he represented to me the inherent brilliance in being black and the idea of... I mean, he was a genius, and he had all these gifts and talents that he could have channeled any direction that he wanted to, but because of the trauma he experienced, his father being killed, him being left behind, yeah. I don't know who raised him, just the idea of black brilliance, or just brilliance in general, gone astray due to trauma and abandonment. It to me, it seemed to be saying that not only was this little boy abandoned when the community took his father away, whether it was thing of the father pulling a gun to kill his brother, the king, or it was a drive-by shooting. I felt like it was that parallel was kind of drawn there, looking at that and the idea of who's going to take care of this boy after this deed is done, and then... Are we supposed to be mad now that we've created a monster through our neglect as a community? Because I don't know if they said about his childhood much about it.
No.
I know they said he graduated from... Yeah, they... You know, I knew that his character was this technological genius. He could have easily been king without the dark side, and
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, he would have been a very worthy king had he actually been brought back to Wakanda. I mean, he certainly would have challenged for the throne. You have to think that he would have, because I was thinking about T'Chaka not bringing him back, and when he said, you know, it would ruin it would reveal us, because he'd have to tell that boy what happened to his daddy. It's like, you can't just take
it. Well, yeah. See, it was a complicated thing, so...
Yeah. And the king, you know, he told... And he didn't really... It would have been nice had he actually told T'Challa, like, look... Had he just had an addendum to that statement, it's hard to be king and a good man. Because he had to make that decision to basically ruin his nephew's life.
But it was... Again, in his mind, I think he was thinking it was for the good of everybody.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you still feel bad for him. And obviously, doing that, though, did create a monster that they had to deal with. I mean, you know, T'Chaka wasn't around to deal with it. But, you know, everybody else pretty much was. So,
And I think already T'Chaka, he didn't have that rage necessary to compete with Killmonger in that ritual battle. I feel like that's why he lost, because Killmonger, when he took off that shirt, I mean, aside from the optics, you know, I was like, damn, he didn't look like that in Creed. But all those scars marks, yeah, from all those kills, I said, oh, T'Challa in trouble. Just like, I said, oh, T'Challa about to go down. It's just a matter of how ugly is it going to get. And that was an ass whooping for the days. But I also felt like, because, I mean, we knew the Black Panther couldn't die. But I was like, how are they going to bring him back?
Yes, I thought the same thing. Okay, how? It's not going to end. He's not really dead, but how? And how are they going to, again, it's another thing. It's like, how are they going to tie it together? How are they going to bring it back to, you know?
Okay, sorry about that, y'all. We had a little interruption by the outside world, and we cannot remember what we were talking about.
Yes, so we will continue.
Yes, we will turn our attentions to Madame Nakia. No, Nakia. Goodness, yes. I can't talk now. I blame them jelly beans. And she was portrayed by Lupita Nyong'o.
Yes.
What were your thoughts on her story?
I like that there was obviously a backstory between her and T'Challa. Mm-hmm. And, especially the part when, because at first when at the beginning of the movie, when they were trying to do this, what looked to be like a rescue thing. And when Okoye said, well, you're going to freeze when you see her. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't sure who she was talking about.
Exactly.
And, yeah, and so it's like, oh, okay, now I get it. He's talking, you know, there was a history there. I guess, she wanted to do other things, and he was more focused on staying home or whatever. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I liked her character. I like, you know, I could kind of see her when her and Okoye kind of had their issue where Okoye was like, well, I'm loyal to the throne, no matter who's in that chair, no matter who is in it.
Yep.
And Nakia was like, well, I'm loyal to our country. And I could see both sides, but I don't know if Okoye would have gone along if Nakia didn't kind of, you know, point out those things to her. So I kind of credit Nakia for getting Okoye on her side, you know, to helping to just kind of save, you know, make sure that they are saving their country.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think also, I mean, Okoye said it, you know, right before they just, you know, she sent her girls down and she and the other three came after Killmonger. She's like, you are not fit to be on the throne. I think there is a certain safeguard against madness, because that's basically what Killmonger was proposing. Plus, he was violating rituals and traditions, and just he wasn't a true Wakandan. You can't be on the throne if you're not a true Wakandan.
Right.
And it brought up this whole idea of, to me, the office of the U.S. presidency versus the country.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. Somebody's in there that shouldn't be there, basically,
that's
is what it is.
It. No
or doesn't
business.
Know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Destructive, you know.
Yeah, just, you know, with an agenda that is short on details, big on ideas. We're going to get all the weapons out there to our different, you know, our different spies and the captains out there, and some of them are hesitant. It's like, of course they are. It just, I'm sure Ryan and them knew what they were doing with that part, that distinction. Yeah, I loved it.
Especially back to the burning of the herbs, how reckless that was, how you're just coming in and you're just doing these things and you don't know the impact. You're not thinking in the future. You're not thinking. You're just thinking right in front of you. No, you know, so there is that parallel there.
Well, not only that, but also the idea that if you burn all the herbs, you've basically killed the Black Panther, and the Black Panther is supposed to be the guardian of Wakanda.
Again, he wasn't thinking that far ahead. He just was not. He was just reckless.
It's like he knew about some of, you know, the history. He never had that attachment to Wakanda because it wasn't where he grew up. It was a place he heard about, but it was also a place that abandoned him. And I don't know when he put it all together in terms of the claw marks in his father's chest when he died, but, you know, I have to wonder, like, when did he realize? I think he knew the Black Panther existed as a child, and he knew what he saw. Because he even said it. Yeah, he says, you know, as a little boy to come home and see your father dead on the floor with, you know, with panther claw marks in his chest. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that is like the other side of the primal scene. You know, you can walk in on your parents getting a freak on, but to walk in as a child and see your father dead on the floor, it's, that alone was enough. And then the fact that his country that he knew was out there just said, yeah, we not going to deal with you.
Yeah.
That made him resent the throne. And he knew who was there. And because T'Challa was his son, he even said, I came here for him. He said, I came to get a piece of him. The right. Rest of y'all, whatever. Your tools. I was sitting there like, damn. And to an extent, how much of that, you know, that rage with Killmonger was also there in T'Challa? Because we're talking about what? 10 days after his father was killed?
Yeah. Going through all this drama.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot to go through. You know, to have to do the ritual, you know, a week after his father's death, to do the ritual battle. Well, what? To become the Black Panther, which I think he already kind of was, because I can't see T'Chaka in his advanced years being out there in that suit. I'm just saying.
No.
You know, but he had to take on a lot, and he even said, I'm not ready. And I think he knew.
Yeah, he was not ready. Yeah. Well, he's not ready. He said he's not ready for T'Chaka to be gone, his dad to be gone.
Mm-hmm. But he also said, I'm not ready to lead. Yeah. I mean, he said, I'm definitely not ready to live my life without you, but I'm not ready to lead either. I thought he said that, or maybe I inferred that. Because the whole thing of, you know, missing his father, you know, that could just be father-son. Because clearly they had a really good relationship. But you might be right about that. I don't remember. That's that second viewing thing with a piece of paper.
Exactly.
And a pen, to be sure. Although, I don't know if your hubby knows, but I will be taking his Facebook post and elevating it to another level.
I have to look for that.
Yes, I will definitely be doing that, because that quote, Killmonger's last line, or I don't know if that was his last line, but that shit was deep. But we should probably get back to Miss Nakia.
Yes.
I actually, you know, the contrast between she and T'Challa was also very interesting, because in many regards, you know, she's out there as a spy in the African continent. And, you know, trying to rescue people from warlords and things like that. So I felt like her role, she was like that, the woman in love who has to choose between being a bride and housewife, so to speak, or in this case, a queen, or being a career woman and pursuing her passions. Because she was clearly passionate about her work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she was one that I kind of got the impression she didn't. I mean, she wasn't. They were in a position to help other people, and that was something that was super, super important to her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was the least she could do.
Yeah.
And she's like, if we're not as a nation going to get out there into the larger world, then I am going to have to be, you know, Wakanda's Black Widow. Toppling governments and the like. Yeah, she was, and it was so interesting because I didn't, throughout the movie, I kept looking at her and I was like, who is that? Like, I didn't see Lupita Nyong'o. I just saw Nakia. And then at the end, I said, oh my God, that was Lupita.
Oh no, I noticed this, that first scene when she was came out of that truck.
Yeah, I mean, but it was like with all of them, they were just the characters as opposed to the actors playing them. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I kept looking at her like, I know her. But I'm like, I'm seeing Nakia doing her thing, and it just occurred to me, like, oh my god, that's right. I was like, maybe at the when she talked to Okoye trying to get her to leave with her, that's when I was like, oh, that's
oh, you really didn't see her until
no, I was immersed, I was in it. I was loving this film because it could have been another big budget special effects movie with a mediocre plot. And it's not to say that all of them have them, because I think, you know, the Avengers, decent plot. I mean, it's part of a story arc, yeah. You know, but something like, X-Men Apocalypse, that tragedy that is a movie with, horribly done, I'll put it that way.
And like I said at the beginning of our discussing this, that was my worry, that it was going to look nice, mm-hmm. and that hopefully it does. That's not all they focused on. That they didn't focus, you know, focus on the story. And obviously they did. They did focus on the story, yes. and the special effects, and it was just wonderful.
Yeah, because I'm looking to see how much money they spent to make it. I know
$200 million is what I heard.
$200 million, and so,
and they've already made that.
They're going to make it back.
Well, the estimates are $220 million for this weekend.
Yeah, that's just phenomenal. I love it.
Yeah, and we need more. Just, you know, hopefully, you know, hopefully, I mean, hopefully that this, not that our lives revolve around movies at Hollywood makes or whatever, but hopefully I think that they really do see us black people as really, you know, viable people, that consumers that go out and will do things, you know, will spend money to see a movie that's about them, that we're not just always, we're not given a bone here and there, like, oh well, you know, here you go. Hopefully after this, you know, somebody really, really gets it, and that our stories are told. And I, you know, I kind of hope for this after Hidden Figures. You know, to me that was a great movie. That story should have been told long ago. It should have been told while, as it was happening. But you know, people are gonna be racist, so like that was impossible. So I just hopefully that people really see, like, you know what, you can't keep ignoring people. This huge, you know, block of people. Black people are, you know, we want to see ourselves on screen. We want to see ourselves represented, you know, and in positive things. That's part of why I think I say that I felt such a sense of pride about this movie, because to me it felt like it was just a positive look, positive view of us, you know, of a lot of us, not just one or two in a movie or one or two in a series, but it was a lot of us. And That is just so refreshing. And I just hope somebody gets it, and you know, that other black directors and movie producers and all that kind of stuff are just able to do more things. Hopefully this opens doors, you know, for more stories like, you know, like this, or
you know,
similar hype or similar impact. You know, I'm hoping for that.
Well, and you know, and I definitely would love to see that as well. I think the thing that would burn me a little bit is the fact that we as a people aren't making the lion's share of that money. So it's an issue of distribution of wealth there. Right. And we're still going to end up with the short end of the stick. Although there will be a select few of us that will be paid well. But there's still that inequality there. But that's just part of the system. That's what we live in. That's where the money is.
I did want to say, like, I mean, obviously there's a lot of merchandise out there. You know, I was looking on Amazon, because some of the stuff they're wearing in this movie was just absolutely breathtaking. And I was like, I want that. Mm-hmm. I want that. So I was looking last night online, and I thought, it occurred to me, it's like, you know what? I think that those, anybody that's listening to this, your friends, your family, I really do think I think if we're going to buy stuff, we need to make sure that we're buying from other black people. Make sure that at least for this, let's get some other, you know, make sure you're buying from our own. Buy from a person that a black person, black family, whatever company is going to benefit from your dollars. You know, because how many chances, I mean, are we going to get like this? So might as well, you know, I think we need to take part in distributing the wealth, because waiting for other people to do it, we're going to be waiting forever. So I think we need to do it. We need to do what we can.
Well, yeah, and also avoid the bootleg purchases, as if at all possible.
Yeah.
You don't want to get caught up in that. Yeah, I do think that there is a market there for the black community, certainly, where we can benefit to some degree from that. Because I did see that Chadwick Boseman, he got $5 million to do this role, is my understanding.
Okay.
And there's an alleged clash between he and him and Michael B. Jordan, because Michael B. Jordan only got $2.5 million, is my understanding. So I said, oh, it's like, I hope that didn't happen, but you know, I mean,
I hope not. Well, I hope there's not a rift. I mean, I don't know if Michael B. Jordan will be, I mean, how he would be in future, you know, sequels or whatever. I don't know how that would work.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because in the comic book, apparently Killmonger's not dead. I mean, his character is also, I think his character in the comic grew up in Wakanda. And he, you know, he's come in and T'Challa narrowly defeated him, apparently, and he's come back a couple of times. So,
but okay, yeah, well, we'll see.
It's wild, but it seemed to me that he, in fact, died. I would have liked to have seen his burial, because remember when the Queen said, you know, we didn't even get to bury him? And also, in Jobu, when he was killed, he didn't get a proper burial that we know of. Actually, no, he couldn't have. They left his body there. What would a Wakandan burial look like?
And then we're going to bring him back.
I don't remember seeing any footage of T'Chaka's burial. So I'm like, what would that look like? That would have been really cool to see.
Yeah.
To see what level of emotion was there. Is it more of a stoic occasion? Or is it more solemn? Is, you know, are they wearing black?
You know? I mean, I imagine that being very elaborate because, you know, the burial that they did to send them back to their, you know, the ancestry, you know, when they went and like when T'Challa went and spoke to his dad again, when they did that burial thing. I don't know what the correct word would be for that, but.
When they said, you got to bury him.
So I imagine that the ceremony for somebody that has died might be far more elaborate.
I have to think, I wonder what it would have involved. That would have been a nice touch to see. But it would have been like, you know, whose burial do you show? Because you have N'Joku, who was basically a traitor, member of the royal family, but a traitor nonetheless. And then you had Killmonger, who was also a traitor. But he was, well, I don't know if he was a traitor. I mean, he won the kingship fair and square to a certain extent. You know, at least he won it in ritual battle. And he was king, and he was like, these are my orders, screw tradition.
Right. Exactly.
Which I would think would be cause for a coup, and that's kind of what went down.
I agree. Yeah,
yeah. So it's kind of wild. I don't know. Now the other character, were we finished with Nakia? Because we kind of went away from Sister. Were we done with her? I mean, we just left her where she was, and it wasn't right. Do we have any more thoughts on Nakia?
No,
okay. Oh,
I think we're good.
And my moment, even though I saw the clip before the movie came out, again, Okoye in that casino, wearing them folks out.
Oh yeah.
Was she the one shooting, or was it Nakia? Remember that one of them was? I think it was Nakia. Was down on a lower level. She was like a sniper. Yeah. It's like she didn't miss a shot. Yes. But okay. So now we go on to Father Zuri. Yeah, you know, Forrest. Yeah. That's one of my little man crushes, even though he look a little crazy. I think it's the physicality of him. You know, I like a man I can climb, so there he is. Yes.
Okay.
But His character. What were your thoughts on him? How did he fit?
I mean, I think he was a really important part of the story. I mean, he wasn't in it as much, I don't think, as mm-hmm. some of the others, obviously. He did seem to have like an important part of the challenge, you know, ceremony, whatever you want to call it.
He seemed to be the king's right hand.
I don't know. Yeah, and that's how I took it. So he was very mm-hmm. important, you know, in the whole story. But just mm-hmm. I think especially to the king. So, and I don't really remember how he. I don't know if they really showed how much what he felt about Killmonger.
I think there was some guilt there.
Yeah, I think he had to do. I mean, mm-hmm. I think he had to do what he had to do. I mean, I'm talking about Zuri, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of doing a ceremony and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, in the back of my mind, you could hear him saying, "Oh, well, this isn't right. But what are you going to do?" You know?
Yeah, but I think he also, I mean, he knew that this is the way that things were. And if you're going to, T'Chaka made a choice in supporting, in basically maintaining the secret of Wakanda over his nephew.
Over bringing him home.
Yeah. You know, so I really felt like it was such a catch-22 for Zuri as well as T'Chaka, you know, because he told him, "You'll never speak of this." Because he's just like, how do you explain this to you? You know, you can't really explain this. You killed your brother, and that's just a black-ass bottom line. You killed your brother. Yeah, I don't know. But Zuri, it seemed to me that he was almost... He did strike me as the king's right hand because he was always... You know, he presided over the rituals, which I think is a very esteemed elder type of position. And also, he was in the garden as well. I mean, it seemed like he was running that as well. So I don't know. I just felt like, it was nice. I liked his character. I didn't think he was gonna confess in the water. Yeah, so I don't know. Well, it seems like we've kind of come to the end.
Yes,
I wrong.
Think so. I don't. This was just, I think, just a great movie. It, I think, lived up to the hype. It was just such a nice, cool, great movie to see, to I would say be a part of, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to see sequels. I want to mm-hmm. see more. I want more stories and more characters and more backgrounds. And, you know, I want more of it. You know, I don't want... I mean, obviously, well, it looks like we have to wait, you know.
A minute.
I mean, if there's going to be a sequel, it's obviously not... It's going to be, you know, a couple years. So, we've got to wait for that. But...
Yeah, I would love to see... You know, because what T'Challa and them did at the end of the film, where he's like, "I bought that building and that building and that building,"
yeah,
including the one where his uncle was killed. It's kind of the idea that a lot of us have talked about in terms of we'd like to rebuild our communities. We'd like to really educate our folks and get them up to that level that a lot of our counterparts are starting at. And the idea's always been there, but the money hasn't been there. There's not been that one benefactor with bottomless pockets that can do it. And I thought it was very interesting to start that in Oakland. I'm curious. That dog is barking like crazy.
Yeah.
I'm curious to find out how that goes. I would love to see how that goes. Is it, how black is it? Are they able to, to maintain it, protect it? Do the crabs in a barrel fuck it up? It's just like, I mean, I think about some of the community improvement activities and initiatives that I've invested my time and, you know, some coins in from occasion. The coins on occasion, that have had a great premise, a great plan, organization, you know, abundant talent in the room, and egos and get mine, you know, fucked it up.
Yeah.
I still lament the last one that I was involved with that just went down in flames, where we had a meeting, you know, our monthly strategic planning meeting, and I was the only person that showed up besides the convener. So I wonder if those, if that effort, because our people in some cases are so damaged by the history we've lived through, if they're going to even be able to receive what's being offered.
Yeah, I mean hopefully hopefully the message that comes from the movie, especially like the end, like you talked about when he bought the buildings.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully the message there does say that, gets out, besides being a good movie and being entertained for 2 hours and the visuals and all that kind of stuff. Hopefully there's a message that we have to help our own. You know, how Wakanda, they kind of came around and said, okay, you know what? We're not going to just keep all this hidden and just keep it to ourselves and hoard it and not share it. I do think there does have to be that sharing. And so hopefully that is some kind of the spirit of that gets people see it, they receive it, and they're in a spot where they can help other black people get to a higher level. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm hoping that that's kind of the underlying theme, that we don't forget it, we don't walk away and just, wow, that was great, and now what? You know, hopefully there's that kind of a thing that goes along with it. I can only hope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I definitely, yeah, I think, you know, bringing it back to the whole theme of our show, I was talking to someone and they were saying, so you just doing a sex show? And I said, no. I was like, you know, it's about healing, certainly for us as black gay men, the different traumas we've suffered within our, you know, families of origin in some cases, or society, or just as men, as a biological sex of men, you know, that has been trapped in these ideas of what masculinity is supposed to be. And the fact that, you know, that traditional masculine ideal, most black men are not capable of living up to it because we're not in charge. You know, some of those requirements, they're not yeah, ours. You know, but then you have this guy like T'Challa, where he can be that. He is the king. He has plenty of money. He has the power to keep white folks and colonizers out of his country. Right? You know, it'll be interesting to see how well they're able to do that now that the world knows who they are. But I just, yeah, I mean, just the idea of healing.
Well, but that would probably set up, you know, and that could be the next, one of the next sequels, or one of the sequels, is that now it's a battle for the control or the resources, you know, that Wakanda now is going to share. You know, I don't think if that happened, I don't think that country's just going to sit back and necessarily take what they think, what they would get from Wakanda, that they feel like that would be enough. I think they say, well, we want more, we deserve more, and we're going to take more. You know what I mean? So I don't think that people would just be just accepting, like, well, we're just going to take all this nice stuff, and whatever they want to give us, we're going to take, and we're going to be happy with. There's going to have to be some kind of conflict. There will be, you know, there would be.
Definitely. Well, I mean, yeah, you look at human history, conflict is inevitable, because we're all competing for finite resources. The animated, again, going back to the animated, I guess, miniseries, so to speak, I think it was like 5 episodes, maybe, half hour at that. That one was all about Wakanda was under attack by Claw and his minions, and the United States was oh so eager to help out. It's like, you know, they were like, we know you're under siege, you know, because it was, I think it was like T'Challa talking to Condoleezza Rice on the phone, and maybe Colin Powell telling them, kiss my ass, basically, you know. Like, nice try, but Negro, you and I both know you ain't getting into space. It was, I got my holler when I was just like, wow. But it was very interesting because they were trying to infiltrate Wakanda because once they were there, it would be an act of aggression to expel them.
Okay.
So the U.S., you know, they were just, and Black Panther dealt with the invaders and basically stopped the United States from penetrating Wakanda, maybe within 100 yards of their border. He was like, I got this. Y'all can go home. And it's like, and yeah, I hate to give it away, but it was really fascinating. So, I mean, I am curious to see what direction they go in with any sequels. Because there is, from what I have seen, there is a little scuttlebutt about bringing back Killmonger somehow, some way. You know, does he have a child that we don't know about? You know, which would again be very short-sighted on his part, because your child's not going to be able to truly inherit your legacy if you kill the flowers.
Yes.
I hope the flowers come back.
Yeah. Well,
they were so gorgeous.
Yeah, and I mean, who knows? Maybe there's. They bring Killmonger back like they brought T'Challa back. Who knows? I mean, I don't know. That could be.
Well, yeah. I mean, we clearly saw him. Yeah. I mean, we saw him take the knife out of his chest. And he
I know. I mean, I guess they would need that other somewhere, a secret stash of the herb, you know, so they can bring him back. But who knows?
Yeah, was it you yesterday that said, you know, one of them folks that, you know, picked up a flower or two? And I said, that's possible. I didn't see it.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, because that, otherwise the Black Panther is done.
And that can't be. That we know that's not going to be the case.
Yeah, I'm like, is if you ever were invaded and they discovered that, you want to have a backup somewhere. So I think it'll be all right.
Yeah.
We just gonna play that on hope. We hope it's gonna be all right. I wish they would kill off all the flowers. They ain't gonna do hope speak. We gonna do wish speak. I forget what comedian brought that one into my world, but it was hilarious. Oh, they're talking about people like, oh, they're like, you know, white folks be like, well, I hope no one's sitting in our seats, honey. And he's like, black folks, we don't do that. We think in wishes. I wish somebody would sit in my damn seat. I said, damn, that's so true. But yeah, so I don't know. Did you have any closing thoughts on the film?
I think just what I said earlier, just that I hope that that obviously that people enjoy the film, that they feel a sense of pride seeing it, but that there is a message too of really helping other, you know, of we have to help ourselves. I mean, we can't be waiting for other folks to do it, because I think we've been waiting a long time, and we're going to be waiting a long time if we keep thinking that way. So hopefully that message kind of comes through. I think that was it.
Okay, yeah, I mean, for me, I know I brought up the topic of healing earlier and probably did nothing with it. To me, the film was definitely very affirming, very healing, just in the sense of seeing black people thriving, and this whole idea that we are not inherently dysfunctional, as, you know, that narrative has been sold to us in this society for so long. So it was really wonderful for me to see that, and kind of put a little more oomph in my hope meter, so to speak.
Me too.
Yeah, it was, and it wasn't this whole idea of, oh, it's a cartoon. It's like, no, these are flesh and blood people.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it was, those hillsides in Africa were real. It's like, I know the Wakanda built there was fictional and probably green screen, but these were real people. There are real kingdoms and queendoms in the motherland. And I just like getting another perspective on Africa. I've not been yet. So I thought that was, it was almost like a bit of a love letter with some tough love up in there from Ryan Coogler in the cast.
Yes.
And as I was thinking when I walked out, and staggered into the sunlight, that blinding light outside that theater, goodness, My pearls were clutched and they were just falling all around me on the floor. It's just like the movie was good. It was a great film. I mean, I'm sure there are things that could have been done differently, but it was, I loved
yeah,
it.
Yeah, me too.
I felt like it was a blessing to see it. But yeah, so because this is a bonus episode, we will not have any letters today. But I believe Dark Boy has a little something he wants to tell you.
Yeah,
about
so that. For next couple of episodes, you know, we want people to send in their questions about anything that's going on in your relationship, you know, whether single and looking, or you're in a relationship, you're having problems, or family issues. Again, this is sexual healing, but there's also healing, you know, sexual questions, but then there's also the healing part. So if you want to have us answer your questions, you can send an email to us at sexualhealingpod@gmail.com, and you know, your letter may just be read over there and give you our advice.
Yeah, because you know, and it's like you know, as Dark Boy said, it's not all sexual, but you know, if you have questions or just want to share stuff about the stuff that really makes sexual healing necessary for you, in the original sense of Marvin Gaye's song, you can write about that as well. Folks getting on your nerves at work, your kids working your nerves, whatever it may be. You know, we definitely want to engage in a dialogue and find out what it is you guys want to talk about and what you want to hear about. And as we grow this show, and we're early in the podcasting game, but we're learning. So reach out to us. We have accounts everywhere in the social media world. You can check us out on Twitter at PodSexual.
Yep.
Not sure how that came to pass. I put in, you know, Sexual Healing Pod, but it named us PodSexual. You can also find us on Instagram and Pinterest at Sexual Healing Pod, no spaces, just all one word. Mm-hmm. And we also have a Facebook page, and you can just search for us by the actual title of the show, Sexual Healing Podcast, from top to bottom. And last but not least, you can also go visit our website at www.sexualhealingpod.com. Again, early working on that site, but we're going to try to at least get information up there from the episodes. If we mention different resources, clips,
links,
articles,
links
to stuff. Yep. Where, you know, in my mind, I'm going to make it into this grand community, so to speak. But I have to be realistic because a brother's busy. So, but we'll definitely at least, you know, get you links to download the show and possibly to submit questions through the website. We'll have to look into that.
Yeah.
But definitely we thank you for spending this time with us. And I believe our target release date is on Wednesdays. So hopefully you'll hear us next Wednesday.
Yep. Every Wednesday, hopefully. Yep.
All right. So signing out, I am Dr. Pookie.
I am Dark Boy.
And we wish you a great week. Keep healing, y'all.